Hello everybody, today I'll be podcasting my episode number one, that is on how to start a startup. So starting a startup is not like a rocket science. Many students, youngsters, in fact aged fellows want to start a startup, but seriously like a startup methodology in the true sense. I'm here to answer those pent-up questions in my podcast today. My name is Memons and I'm a young entrepreneur located in Pakistan. I'm a co-founder of a Startups Consulting Agency. So what do I suggest to youngsters who want to own a startup, or put it differently, like those who want to start a startup or a business? This is a very basic question that teenagers or undergrad ask me for many reasons. So starting from scratch is quite a daring job. To build a company from scratch, from zero, is like a miracle nowadays. But it's not like a rocket science, as I mentioned earlier. For starting a meaningful startup, you should first question yourself, why are you doing that? Many startups started with a loud buzz in the beginning and later turned into flash in the pan, without any prominent setting or mark. Asking yourself, why are you doing this, is the first question that may help you to strengthen your career goal and a clear-cut direction about your future work. I hope this also reduces the factor of uncertainty for many entrepreneurs. Technically speaking, to get an idea for starting a startup, you need to hunt the problems foremost. The problems that are encountering in today's world. For example, Uber found a transport gap in the market. It hits the bullseye. The founder of Uber thought a big problem that he solved through his business idea. It worked. Now it's running to around 80 countries. Secondly, you need to look into the future to get an idea. Let me elaborate on it. Currently, needs are met with current solutions. So if a human mind is capable of prognosticating the future needs, it also have an idea to pacify the needs with a unique product or services. So what is the biggest future need for myself, is somebody gonna ask me? It would be to create an equipment that can press my clothes automatically. Like a toaster, it may be able to flip the hem of my clothes and press it perfectly for me. So I would be saved from doing household drudgery. Moreover, the options to get an idea is to look at the past trends. Now, by this mean I mean to go in the past, explore the past trends and fashions, renovate them with the technology, with the modern technology, introduce twists and turns into an already established products or service. This is more fantastic and interesting idea to kick in your startup idea. Finally, you should be on your toes to explore, to innovate, to be able to fill the gaps in the market. Look, what is missing around you? What best fits into the loophole? You definitely get an abstract idea, nevertheless any vivid piece of thoughts that may compile up to form a complete startup idea. So once you have brought the idea on your mind, doodle it over the piece of paper on a page, jot it down. Look for connections such as diagrams or flowcharts. Remember that clarity is very important. The clarity of your idea is a very basic concept in the ideation stage. Make your idea wholly clean. Ask as many as questions from yourself as you can. If you cross 100 questions inside, you will be 100 times more coherent and clear within your startup idea. Being a devil's advocate for your startup idea is nonetheless a nicer job. It reduces the chance of playing hide and seek when you're presenting your idea to your fellows, to your startups, to investors, or to your mentors. Think, you are the best judge of your startup. So clarity in your idea is the second most important facet of your startup. When all is said and done, develop a minimum viable product, or what we call it MVP. Now, how to develop a minimum viable product, this will be discussed in later episodes, in like episode number 2. And once you have developed a prototype of your product, run it. Let 100 customers use it for free. Do not charge them. Let them use. Let them test your product. This is also called the testing of product. Let customers use your product in its early form, in its raw form, in its ugly nascent form. Back in 2002, Facebook also launched its social networking application in its raw form. There's nothing wrong with that. Let consumers decide what they want in your products or service. Remember, feedback from your consumers on this stage is going to determine the future of your product. If the feedback is not up to your expectations, modify your idea. Shape it the way consumers want. Let me quote an example here. Rin was mistakenly understood like a detergent in India, but actually it was a dishwashing soap. So the consumer perception made it an entirely a new product. And we should appreciate the makers who accepted this modification and opted to introduce Rin as a detergent for clothes. Once you're ready with your prototype, again, launch it. It doesn't matter if you fail again. Patience and persistence are the prerequisites for startups. You should remember that. You should not give up on it. Keep trying unless you achieve the desired outcomes. There is nothing wrong with accepting failures. Failures are meant to open new opportunities. Take the case of Airbnb. It launched 3 times and is now one of the most used applications for travel and navigation. In a nutshell, yes. Developing a prototype, getting it tested, and keeping it on and on are essentials of starting a startup. Now, after developing a perfect prototype, create a hype and a buzz in the market. Let people know that you have brought something out of the box in the market. Your product should be seen the only and perfect solution to the consumer's unsatisfied need and want. Make it this way. If consumers do not use your product, they'll be at loss. They'll be deprived. Keep it as your product service in an urgent and innate need of your consumer. You do not need to hire marketing gurus or pay a hefty amount to do that. You should be a little adept in using social media channels and for your startup. In other further episodes, we will discover how to utilize those social media channels for market boom. So once your product is finally on the table, it's showcased in the market, it can be viewed by multiple customers. Now it's a high time to either bootstrap your startup or raise funds. Now, the bootstrapping is the technique of arranging funds for your startup from your own pocket, whereas fundraising is the art of generating money from party sources. It may include non-profit organizations, investors, angel investors, capital ventures, so and so on. In episode number 3, we will talk about the techniques for bootstrapping and fundraising. Furthermore, to start a startup, you need to register your company. If you're a physical outlet, you would be in need to showcase in a physical place. If you're running an online business, you would be in need to own a website, to master the art of SEO and SEM. Learn the technicalities of handling social media accounts, including LinkedIn, including Facebook, Twitter, and more importantly, Instagram, which is quite a lucrative social media handle for startup and businesses in recent times. But this never means if you're a physical business, you should not own all of these. It is comparatively less essential than online ventures, but it gives your product market. Hello everybody, my name is Memons and I'm the co-founder of a startup consulting service agency. And today we are going to discuss the episode number 3 in our podcast. Today we are talking about the developing an MVP, what we call the minimum viable product for startups. So developing an MVP or minimum viable product is all about testing your product. It is how actually your product is going to target your customers. In this chapter, we will learn about the basics understandings on how to build a minimum viable product for your startups. So basically the question is, what is an MVP actually? So an MVP is a minimum form of your product that is tested on the market. The MVP is a development strategy that allows the team to testify the accuracy of your product assumptions and learn how your targeted customer react and interact with your product's basic functionality. This strategy will provide an insight into properly allocating your finances to satisfy your overall business goals. And building an MVP is an iterative and cumbersome process designed to identify user needs and users' wants and identify the suitable product functionality to address those needs over time. For example, in mobile app development, an MVP is a development method where you develop only the core functionalities to the core to solve a problem and satisfy early users. Essentially, an MVP is the basic model of your product that will fulfill the primary goal you want to achieve. MVP development follows a build and measure learn process, which allows you to release a product that can be continually improved as you validate or invalidate assumptions, learn what users want, and build future iterations of your app that better serve your customers. Once you have developed an application, you have launched it. Later, you may modify its user interface, what we call UI, and graphics as per the likeness of your customer. So you may bring on the features which are user engaging and those will grab you more and more traffic on your application. It is likely to launch a perfect product. In today's world, customers are co-producers, let's say, of your product. Let them produce what they like, stick or the genuine feedback you get from your product. So the question next arises is, why to build up an MVP? The foremost purpose of an MVP is to build a live working product that provides immediate customer value and that minimizes the cost. Starting with an MVP will let you dive freely into the market. Having said that, you will not have an opportunity to test your product or innovate your product in the middle of a growth stage. It allows you to learn more about your end users and the market you wish to enter as you test your assumptions. An MVP will also set a stage for the future iterations of development and clarity the sequential steps to take in the project. Whether that's changing directions entirely or continuing down your set development patterns. In some cases, an MVP can also be to put forth the startup potential and win stakeholders buy-in. Whether you're looking for funds or an assistance from investors and mentors, an MVP definitely solidifies your position as it proves the merit of your product and secure funding for development and the prosperity of your startup. So let's discuss the step-by-step working of an MVP, and a step-by-step guide discusses the framework and technicalities of an MVP on every stage. So the stage one is all about doing market research, identifying gap in the market. On the first stage, startups are required to look into the market gaps or seek a solution to any problem that prevails in the current market. Problems can be handled by doing rigorous market research, forecasting future needs, and identifying top trends in the past. That all I discussed in the episode number one, how to start the startup. Now, in this stage, organizational needs or customer needs address the current gaps. For instance, if you're running a cell phone-based startup, you need to research over what type of mobile sets are needed in the market. Take the case of Motorola company. It totally failed to gauge the customer's needs to touch-screen mobile phones. Nokia is also of that similar ilk. It could not modify its mobile phone designs up to the customer's expectations. Perhaps this was the main reason of its downfall and market was occupied with the chain makers like Apple, like Samsung. This is very essential on this stage to study about your competitors. Address the questions, what makes your product stand out? You need to bring the novelty in your product in order to differentiate it from the rest of the competitors. the newness can be achieved by continuous modification, by adding value, giving thought overs, tailoring product lackings, by offering something extra, and building meaningful relations of your product with its customer. Once the needs are determined, the latter part is to set the LTO, the long-term objectives for your startup, for your business. What are you planning to achieve? The question should be addressed. For example, if you're a fast food chain, you may have a long-term goal of reducing the checkout time by 40%, let's say. Next, to set a success criteria for your startup, what will define the success factor of your startup? Our fast food chains, for example, might define success by reaching that 40% reduction in time to checkout, having 20,000 active monthly users, and reaching $1.5 million in monthly transactions via their application. The stage number 2 says, create a user flow. It is important to devise the MVP by keeping your users in mind. A good way to ensure that users will have a good user experience with the first edition of your product is by charting and following users' journey. The best advice is to look at your product from the perspective of your user, from the initial point of using a product or service to the end point, such as making a purchase. This provides the in-depth knowledge and insights into how you can design the app in a way that is more feasible for users. Also, drawing the user diagrams, flowcharts, and follow-ups that address the same action users need to take for completing the end goal. Remember, you do not forget the user satisfaction while devising MVP. For identifying user segments, it is possible that you may have more than one category of users. For instance, if you have a cab booking application, you may have the rider, what we say the customer, and the cab driver. Identification of user segments can be done through identifying the action jobs. The jobs are the actions that user needs to take in the order to reach the user ending and achieve goal. When devising your MVP, you will be possibly have a look at user which have the most jobs and focus on the users. Notwithstanding this, there may be higher preferences that need to be addressed. So you may need to focus on various users. The action jobs for users may include such as book an appointment, apply, find for a pet. Finally, identifying the story endings for every user. There is an ending such as doing the final task of purchasing. There are different goals of different users. For instance, booking an application, booking an appointment, or taking the pet home, or confirming the ride on the lift, so and so forth. We have many of the examples for that. The stage number 3 is all about identifying the user pain points. After having identifying the user flow, now is a big time to touch pain points of users or multiple users. Through this stage, you will be able to look into trouble using users are facing while interacting with your product. This early form of feedback is crucial for your product, as this emboldens the basic skeleton of your product in the mind of customers. In addition, it also gives you deeper knowledge about product's working. Always invite customer for early feedback and crucial comments. This will strengthen the user engagement and user involvement with your product. Stage 4 is all about determining the necessary product features. Once you have been done with all these necessary user steps, you need to add a list of product features for every stage. You may add all features you think are vital for your product. When you are done with setting all list features for your products on each stage, rank them. Rank it just like, firstly, highlight your most important features in order to build a positive impression about your product and the feature you want your users to accomplish. Ask yourself, which is that? Secondly, you need to ask yourself, what other features you may add into your product to drive the value for your customer. It is vital enough to answer every why in your product's feature on this stage. At the beginning, brainstorm about every feature. Let us highlight important ones while neglecting the others. Now, categorize all the remaining features under the categories must have, nice to have, and don't care. The story mapping techniques might take this process easier. You can find a build a matrix where you can have a horizontal row showing main process stages through our user flow and other each stage a number of features dedicated to this stage. Now this user flow, I want to give an example, just like you for search for a ride in application or book the cab, confirm the ride, receive the services. That's how the user flow runs. Once you have added all of the features on every stage, you may draw a downward vertical arrowing from the higher priority to the top and to the lower priority to the bottom. You need to arrange feature vertically according to their property, according to their priorities, and the most important features shall be at position of the column and the rest at the bottom. It is very essential to look into all the processes. Now, when you have leveled up all the features on every stage, you may determine the scope of very first product and moving developing an MVP. If you want to see your product, your future product will look like, so you can make an MVP first prototype. Many giant startups build a basic prototype to show off their investors and get funding for the project. Developing prototype increases more than 50% chances of getting it funded or raising money for your nascent product. For instance, the startup that has a basic application need to build a UI or UX of their application in order to raise funds for their projects. So it is highly essential to bring practicality into your startup rather being an abstract idea. The stage number 5 is all about building, testing, learning, BTL. When the scope of work is defined, it needs to harbinger in development stage, where we are required to develop the stage, and when product development is almost completed, the product needs to be tested. The first testing stage is conducted by our very assurance engineers, of course, and who work to improve the quality of the product when it's not yet released. They ensure that the product is ready for alpha or beta testing. Alpha testing can be done by focus group that include friends and family and friend circles or colleagues. On the other hand, beta testing is all about product usage by its real users. To explain, after alpha products, after the alpha stage, product goes into the real market in the hands of potential customers who use the product for a certain period of time. The on average time period of staying for a beta product in the market is approximately 1 to 2 weeks. Yes. In this duration, the makers are aware about the customer's feedback about their invention, and in case of any mishap with the products or changes can be made forward. Albeit major and crucial changes are likely made within the product. Remember that your users use only one once who may provide the valid feedback or for those changes in the product. Now some of the students are and some of the startup builders are very concerned about the cost of building an MVP. So that is the thing that hinder them building an MVP in their after the ideation stage. So the cost of building an MVP. If you're curious how much MVP development costs, you should not know that in most cases the costs for building a product depends on a great many factors. One of the most significant is project complexity. The approximate costing for an Airbnb-like website ranges from $38,000 to $22,750, let's say. All in all, we described in this episode about how to build an MVP. We threw light on every stage of an MVP. Adding to this, we also discussed why an MVP is important and what is the MVP actually, and what is the cost to build an MVP. Thank you so much.